Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Arielle Gray, we got you here because not only are you a WBUR reporter, you're also an artist. In addition to that, you are a lifelong Bostonian.
Yes.
You have the perfect trifecta for this conversation about the Embrace, which is a statue in Boston Common that's supposed to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, Coretta Scott. Since it's been unveiled on Friday, there have been a range of reactions, right? To say the least. Some have been positive, you know, calling it a symbol of love and unity. Others have been confused, repulsed, and some have even said from different angles it has a sexual nature to it, to put it mildly. What have you heard from folks in the city?
I think a variety of reactions that run the gamut, like all of the ones that you just listed. I think some people really love the statue and what it represents. And I also think that other people don't quite get what the statue is supposed to represent. And then, of course, the internet is undefeated with all of the memes that have been coming out about the statue. I've seen everything from memes of, like you said, sexual acts. I've seen baby boy memes that
that was a good
that one. It I looks like that. You know, the scene where he gets put into a headlock by his stepfather. Yeah, just a lot of different reactions, both from people inside the city and outside.
So I want to take a step back. You know, having said all that, from your perspective, what exactly is a monument like this supposed to achieve?
Ooh, I think that's a really hard question. And I think it's one we come across in general when we talk about public art. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the point? Is the point to engage the public? Is the point to just memorialize somebody and not so much engage the public on that history and that person? Is it for optics, aesthetics? There are a lot of different reasons behind why monuments go up. And obviously, the conversation about monuments in general has been in the zeitgeist with a lot of Confederate monuments being taken down and a lot of other monuments going up that actually acknowledge Black pain, Black suffering, and Black joy and Black history. I think this statue was supposed to represent the Black joy and how it intertwines with Black history, specifically when it comes to the kings. And whether or not everybody gets that, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Do you think the Embrace statue succeeds in any of that?
I think it's kind of undeniable that it does, right? Because there are people who have had that feeling or that reaction. And then on the other hand, there are people who haven't had that reaction. But I think that's kind of the point of art in general, is that what repulses some people draws in other people. And that's kind of the beautiful thing about art. And I think that's what's been so interesting about how polarizing this conversation has been, is that it is up for interpretation. That's what art is supposed to be, an interpretation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we're really getting all of the interpretations on this one particular monument.
Yeah. Do you see where it may fall short? I ask because art is supposed to be up for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But then was that the goal here? You know, did Hank Willis Thomas really put this thing up for there to be so much conversation around should it be there and what it is and oh, it looks like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that some of the drawbacks of the statue, and we were discussing this yesterday on our team, was that the rendering of the statue kind of looks a little bit different than how it is in reality. I mean, it's a massive statue made out of bronze. And so I think for some people, from what I've heard, imagined it being executed a little bit differently from what the smaller rendering looked like. So I think that's one issue. I think Hank Willis Thomas, you know, his work is really beautiful and complex, and he has a history in his work using disembodied limbs to explore Black history and uncover Black history. Like, he's, you know, he's done other monuments across the country. So I think it's very in line with his work, but not everybody is going to understand.
Right.
And then even more so, it's a public monument. Everybody is reacting to it. You know what I mean? It's not just a specific audience. And so I think maybe that's where it fell a little bit short.
Mm. And real quick, just take us through the selection process for this statue, you know, because I understand there was some community involvement in this.
Yeah, I will say that there was definitely an effort to make sure that people who knew about the process were able to kind of participate in it. I think whether the question is, you know, did enough people in the Black community know about the process? I think that may be up for debate. But, you know, they did solicit submissions from across the globe. Artists here were also invited to apply. And then from there, I believe they convened a council that had different, like, MLK scholars, historians, curators. And so they then narrowed all the submissions down to 5. And then after those 5 were chosen, they were displayed at the main library in Copley Square, where the public could submit their reactions or comments. And from those 5 submissions, the Embrace was the one that, you know, the public liked the most. So that was what the process overall looked like for the monument.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. I want to get your thoughts on something. There's a bite from Hank Willis Thomas, the artist behind the sculpture. Here he is on the show CNN this morning.
Because this is a piece that was selected by the people of Boston. This is not Hank just came and put something. Thousands of people worked on this. Thousands of people actually put it together. And no one saw this, I would say, perverse perspective. And I mean, to bring that to the King's legacy and to dictate the making of art and the celebration of them was really strange for me.
We're having this conversation right now. We talked about the community involvement and, you know, how art can be interpreted. What's your response to his statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we always have to be careful as artists. Sometimes when we come into processes where we're not sure how much community involvement necessarily went into the process, I do think that King Boston, now Embrace Boston, definitely tried to make sure that this got out there and that people were able to go to the main library and have their input heard. But at the end of the day, I can't ever say that there's anything wrong with more community involvement and seeing how that could possibly be improved. I think there can always be more done to make sure that the community is involved.
Yeah, like folks knew that this monument was coming for years, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like this criticism feels new and out of the blue because they didn't do enough to reach out to people to get a more robust public reaction to the initial submissions.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. I think also, too, there's a stark difference in the reactions between people who are in Boston, have been here for a while, and then people who are coming more from a national perspective.
Word.
And I think that's really just because of exposure, right? We've been reporting on this monument since like 2018. Now, geez, almost five years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people, I think, here, especially those who are maybe more involved in like the arts world, knew that this monument was coming. You know, there was the whole selection process. But nationally, you know, people didn't get that benefit of, oh, these are the five selections. You know, we chose the best one. Here it is. This is the rendering. This is what it's going to look like. This is what it's supposed to mean. They didn't get the benefit of that. There are definitely people here in Boston who do not like the statue.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found people in Boston being more sympathetic towards the monument than people who are just now seeing it.
So, Ariel, this is a monument for two national figures on the nation's oldest park. Could more have been done to get input nationally, you know, from people outside of the Boston region?
Yeah, so I think there can always be more done when it comes to outreach, but I do think that conducting national outreach can be a little bit tricky, and maybe it's something that Embrace Boston didn't necessarily have the tools to do. Though I will point out that, you know, the submission process, it was global, and that's kind of where that national interpretation of the King's legacy comes in. Hank Willis Thomas is based on the West Coast. He's not from Boston. And so he brought his interpretation of the King's to the city. The other thing I will point out that I feel made a big difference on this is that there was a ton of national coverage when the monument was unveiled, right? Like, mm-hmm. all eyes were on Boston. But there wasn't a ton of national coverage on the process leading up to it. There was a lot more local coverage. So people here were kind of already used to the idea of the monument, whereas people nationally, they're just seeing this monument get unveiled and they're just like, what is this? Like, I don't understand.
Do you see the Embrace and, you know, the critiques around it? Do you see it as a setback for the Black community in Boston?
No, definitely not. I think the Black community, right, isn't a monolith. And so even with this Embrace statue, we see Black people having different reactions. I've mm-hmm. seen Black Bostonians who stand 10 toes behind the statue. And then I've seen other Black Bostonians question whether or not this monument is about optics and not so much about addressing the systemic racism that's here in the city.
Mm.
And so I think that's also a question that comes up whenever any sort of monument or public art project goes up, is like, how could this money have been possibly used in other ways to attack some of the issues in the area? And so that's another kind of critique that I've seen in general, which is complex in and of itself.
Mm. Understood. I gotta say, it did make for some very interesting and lively conversation.
Sure did.
Thank you for coming through and talking with us about this. This was so great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Ariel Gray. And that's our show for today. Now, I'm very curious to know what you think about the embrace. So hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at WBUR The Common, or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I would love to hear what you have to say. In the meantime, I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.